Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And top of the muffin to you. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here on the show. Today, we're going to deep dive what's going on with the stimulus. We've got three big stimulus stories, and they're all kind of pointing in a different direction. So we will go through point by point these three major new stimulus stories overnight for you, some of which is breaking news that we're just getting our hands on copies of one of these new stimulus proposals from Mitch McConnell. So we will go through page by page the new stimulus proposal from the leader of the Senate, Turtle Boy himself, Mitch McConnell. We'll show you what's in and what's out of that. And then also all eyes on the Georgia runoff election. So much hinges on this election, these two Senate seats that are set for a runoff election on January 5th. We'll tell you the giant conundrum that has been created as a result of Trump's unwillingness to concede the election in Georgia. How does this all tie together? That's all coming up on the show today. Grover is here, passed out with me. Took him for a nice long walk this morning. He's been playing around. He is once again asleep. Once he hears us start to talk about the economy and other things, puts him right to sleep. It's like a good lullaby. Hopefully it doesn't put all of you to sleep. Hopefully it doesn't put David to sleep in the control booth, who is now on a vat of coffee, but he's not drinking decaf this morning. He's drinking regular coffee, so yep. Look out for a chatty show today.
Out of my big Captain America mug. It's empty now, though.
That is awesome. Oh. Well, I've got my so I drank like 5 or 6 cups of black coffee. I'm on day 2.5 of my all water and black coffee fast for 21 days. I've already lost about 3 pounds. It's amazing how much crap just falls off your body when you stop feeding it with crappy stuff. So, hey, more on that. We'll talk about that in the Q&A at the end of the episode today. But first, I want to tell you about our show sponsor. Look, it's troubling times right now. No need to tell you that. And wouldn't it be great if you could talk to somebody and do it at a discount, by the way? And you don't have to be too proud to actually want to talk to somebody. And that's why BetterHelp decided to sponsor our show today, because they have been reading your comments. They've seen how many people are actually struggling in our audience, people who, you know, have lost their job, people who maybe have lost a family member, people who have nowhere else to turn. I've read from people that said, I'm alone on Thanksgiving. I don't have anyone to talk to. Well, here's an opportunity for you to talk to an actual counselor. You deserve to be happy. So you can go to their website at betterhelp.com. And if you use the coupon code, if you go to betterhelp.com/invest, you'll actually get 10% off. And it's great. They're going to assess your needs. They're going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. It's a professional counseling service done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise. And if you just want to chat with somebody, you can do that. You want to do it on the phone, you can do that. You want to do video chat, you can do that. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's so great. You can start living happier today. You're going to get 10% off your first month with them by going to betterhelp.com/invest. These are the type of sponsors that I like having on my show that want to help you. So thank you to BetterHelp, HELP.com. Let's get to the stimulus news this morning. We've got three major stories on the stimulus and how this could affect all of us. Look, we are hurting. And we're seeing some of this new economic data right now that's coming out. Number of small businesses across the country shut down permanently. We included this in the newsletter this morning. I mean, New York, New Jersey, tens of thousands of businesses closed forever. One story I saw, just an anecdotal story to kind of paint a picture for you. A gentleman who was working in the restaurant business was making about $80,000 a year. That job has disappeared altogether. He said he never thought he'd be standing in food lines, that he lived in California. He was making that per year and done, gone. Job erased, and now he's standing in food lines and worried about losing his home. So we absolutely need stimulus immediately. So there are a couple of different proposals floating around right now. So let me start with the breaking news that just happened a short time ago, overnight. We're not even allowed to see this. No, the Washington Post managed to get their hands on this, those sneaky Washington Post reporters. So Mitch McConnell, yes, Turtle Boy Mitch McConnell, who wanted to put a pause on the stimulus all summer just to see how everything would unfold, has released his own stimulus plan. He's been circulating it inside of the Senate caucus, but guess what? It broke out, it leaked out, and reporters got their hands on it. So I want to go through it. This is exactly what it looks like. Again, this is from the Washington Post. And this is sort of a lot of legal speak here and legislative speak. So I'll kind of go through it in non-legislative speak, if you will. So what's in this thing right now on page one, no state and local aid. So we're off to a galloping start, Mitch. No state and local aid, even though the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell have repeatedly said that we need state and local government aid. And it's not about blue states or red states. Every state is bleeding right now. So thank you, Mitch. No state and local aid in your stimulus package. What else is in this puppy? Well, we've also got one additional month in the PUA and PEUC for jobless Americans. Okay. So you get one extra month, folks, of unemployment benefits under Mitch McConnell's plan. 1 month. That should get us through till what, January? Are we looking at this as a bridge? Maybe. I don't know. So 1 month of pandemic unemployment assistance. Thank you, Mitch. So generous. Just like already managed to give $5 trillion to big businesses. But what about us?
That's like him sitting there with a full plate of beans eating, and you're starving. He's like, all right, I'm going to give you a bean. Here you go. Now shut up.
Here's one bean. Please, sir. May I have some more beans? Please. You rat bastard. Thank you, Mitch. So kind. But meanwhile, these guys, by the way, you know, that's why these big money donors, they don't even want this. They don't even want them to do anything. All these big money donors, they don't want them to do anything. So here's small business programs. That's in here as well. By the way, no additional stimulus checks. So no additional stimulus checks. They would continue the Paycheck Protection Program to the hardest hit businesses. You can see that they would do available for second draws. So again, this is like a business friendly version of the stimulus. No stimulus checks under Mitch McConnell. No state and local aid for states and municipalities that are bleeding capital right now. They can't even afford to pay for services that we rely on. What happens when the trash starts piling up? But hey, Paycheck Protection Program, and look, I'm for small businesses getting their hands on PPP to keep them running. But as we saw, a lot of people didn't. The PPP did not really work as we thought it would. Look how many businesses have gone out of business. Tens of thousands of businesses across the United States have closed. Small businesses, but the big businesses are doing just fine. Being propped up with all of these low interest loans that they're getting from the government. They can ride on that corporate debt. They're fine. It's the small hair salon that you rely on. It's the small butcher that you rely on. It's a small fish shop that you rely on. Do we call them a fishmonger? The small cheese shop that you love. You know, it's the place you've been going to for 9 years that's closed now because of this. But great, we're going to continue the PPP program. Fine. What else is in here? Senator Cornyn has thrown in a proposal, an addendum to this, which would, of course, have your proposed liability shield. That is another piece of this. And no money for transit agencies. So, again, nothing for buses. Nothing for buses, by the way. Again, I mentioned this yesterday on the show or last night in our breaking news. buses have been the hardest hit. They have not received anything. And who takes buses? People that don't have a car. People that don't have a private jet. The people that take buses rely on that to get to and from work, to see their family, to do their shopping. It's why when we look at infrastructure for rental investing, we want to make sure that we have public transportation available. It's crucial so that there's bus stops. Well, guess what? When those funds dry up and those bus lines have to be reduced because state and local governments don't have that money to fund these local bus lines and bus routes, that has a direct effect on those low-income Americans who can't afford a car, have that bus pass that gets them to and from their shopping center. But no money for buses. But we did take care of the airline industry. They're not even, like I said last night, they're not even trying to hide their who they favor. The rich, rich, rich. Bail out the airline industry. Take care of them. And by the way, they're going to do it again. Buses, trains. No. That's the stuff that the low-income Americans take. So screw them. That's what Mitch McConnell says. So those are among the non-starters for Democrats right there. So this is your bill, Mitch. Thank you for putting this out. These are all non-starters. No stimulus checks. Liability protection for businesses. A little bit of aid for schools. It's going to forgive $10 billion in Treasury loans for the Postal Service. What else? What other goodies are in here? We have the Coronavirus Relief Funds extension through 2021 and the stockpiles preparation. We also want to make sure we have critical minerals so we don't need to be as dependent on China, and additional appropriations for healthcare response through the Education Stabilization Fund to get students back to school. So again, this is, let's get those schools reopened, not provide any stimulus checks to the American people, extend PPP for businesses, make sure that liability protection is put in place so that people, if they get sick while they're on the job, they can't sue their employer for not putting in proper PPP or PPE protocols. No money for transit, no money for buses, etc. No money for state and local governments. Way to hit a home run, Mitch. That's just one piece of the stimulus news that we've got today. Another piece of stimulus news is a bit of a breaking news on this, is that according to reports this morning, there is another stimulus package being floated around right now by Senator Schumer, Democrat, he's the minority leader in the Senate, and Nancy Pelosi. They've been putting together their own stimulus package that's being kept totally under wraps. We do not know what it looks like. We don't know what's in it. One could imagine, though, it's probably larger than what Mitch McConnell is floating. And it might be also larger than the $908 billion that we broke the news on last night. Now, if you're just joining us, you are new to our channel, you didn't catch the news last night, let me recap it for you here. Last night, a bipartisan group of senators got together and worked over the Thanksgiving break, if you can imagine that, and they released their own stimulus proposal, $908 billion. It does not have stimulus checks. It's one big piece that's missing. But again, this is just a starting place, so I hope that that would be added in. It does have money for state and local governments. It has rental assistance. So that means that people who are behind on their rent could get caught up with $25 billion in rental assistance. I don't think it's enough, but it's a starting place. There's additional PPP program money in there, and the list goes on. There's money for transit in there, for buses, for trains, etc. And there's money for schools and healthcare. There's hazard pay. So there's a bunch of good things in that $908 billion, but there's also a bunch of things missing, including stimulus checks. So that was the news we brought you last night. Right now, we don't know if there's going to be any, if that proposal will see the light of day. Meaning, you know, Mitch McConnell rolls out his own crappy plan, and then Senator Schumer and Nancy Pelosi seem to be working on their own plan. In the meantime, there's this other $908 billion plan over here that these bipartisan senators created. That's just three directions right now. But there is a fourth. There is a fourth, and this is the one that I am most excited about. Now, let me preface this by saying I am no fan. I am not a Joe Biden apologist. I'm not a Joe Biden supporter, and I did not vote for him. And I did not vote for Trump, by the way. But he has said that on day one, he wants a massive stimulus plan in place. So right now, according to sources at the Associated Press, the Biden team is currently working on two different tracks for stimulus. One is a massive stimulus plan that they will unfold on their own with legislation, but that will rely squarely on what happens in Georgia with those two Senate races. So we'll get there in a moment because I want to update you on what's happening in Georgia in just a moment. The other piece of this is executive actions. They've lined up. Now, they've been working on this apparently for a few months, according to the reports. So Biden's agenda in the first 100 days in office, I'm reading now, according to both people close to him and outside groups in contact with his top aides, center on two key avenues: the passage of a broad economic aid package where legislation is not necessary. These would be a number of executive actions, from climate to unemployment to student loans. We'll go through some of these biggest pieces here in a moment. Also, containing the pandemic. Launching an economic recovery and tackling racial inequality are his two most urgent priorities, transition officials say. Now, we already know on the climate side, and one of the things he talked about this recently with Lester Holt in a one-on-one interview, he talked about the recovery and making a huge infrastructure plan, getting people back to work, roads and bridges and internet access across the United States. All of that would be part of this recovery and infrastructure plan, which President Trump had promised us for about 3 years now that we would see an infrastructure plan. We never got one. When he was asked about it at a press conference, he just blew it off and called that reporter dumb. But he kept promising us we were going to see an infrastructure plan. We never saw it. And by the way, Democrats support infrastructure plans. So this is one area where everyone could come to the table and agree we need a massive infrastructure overhaul in the United States. Everyone wants new bridges in their backyard. Like if you're a senator, you're a representative, you can say, hey, I got that bridge approved. It was falling apart. I mean, when you drive through Philadelphia, drive through the South Street, get off like on South Street in Philadelphia, where I used to live, and you look at the South Street Bridge, it's like falling apart, like chunks are literally coming down. That's what we're driving over in one of the fourth largest city in the United States every day. That's America for you. So those are two of his major pieces. The scope of the stimulus, he says, will likely turn on the results of the Senate runoff in Georgia in early January. If the Democrats fail to unseat their GOP incumbent there and the body remains under Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Kentucky Republican, Biden's ambitions will be checked from the outset. However, the immigration legislation Biden said he plans to send to Congress within the 100 days would likely be dead on arrival. But all of the other pieces that he has in place for executive action if they lose those Senate seats. But I'm excited about the idea of a massive stimulus that would actually do something to help people if they win in Georgia. So he would first target most vulnerable as part of his plan and committed to making sure that it targets those vulnerable communities and includes aids to cash-strapped state and local governments. Healthcare workers and first responders would be first on the list. He said they would be first in line to take a COVID vaccine and then also being able to get distribution and aid, economic aid. So there's a lot of things on his list. Here's what he had to say to Lester Holt about his first 100 days.
In those first days.
Well, my priorities, there are a number of things that have to be, let me back up. Some of it's going to depend on the kind of cooperation I can or cannot get from the United States Congress. But I am going to make a commitment in the first 100 days. I will send a immigration bill to the United States Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America. I will also be moving to do away with some of the, I think, very damaging executive orders that have significantly impacted on making the climate worse and making us less healthy, from methane to a whole range of things the president has done as, in my view, has eviscerated the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. There's also things that I want to do that relate to the ability to make sure we get immediate assistance to state and local governments to keep them from basically going under. By that, I mean, every state and local government has to have a balanced budget. Our founders were pretty smart, allowing the federal government to deficit spend in times of crisis to generate economic growth. And so we need, for example, what's going to happen if they don't get an additional aid, they're going to have to start laying off first responders, cops, firefighters, nurses, docs, public health organizations, because they can't afford it. They don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the money to do it. So it's going to be, instead of what in a normal circumstance you'd set your priorities, there's multiple things that are going to have to be taking place at the same time. In addition to that, one of the things of the 20 world leaders I've already met with, and there's another 70, over 70 who I'm waiting to talk to, have called. There's an overwhelming interest in us coming back to the, in the international community and multilateral organizations to meet. For example, I met with the new head of NATO, wanting me to show up to NATO conference. I've been asked to do in Asia, the ASEAN, and there's a whole range of things we're going to have to do to, in the process of delegating to the foreign policy team, the authority to go out and reassure that we're back. America's word can be kept. We mean what we say we'll commit to, and that we are committed. So, but the most important thing, I think, is while we try to do all of this, focus on those folks who are always, when crisis hits, they're the first one hit, and when recovery comes, they're the last one in. That's basically minority communities who've been hurt very badly. You know, I know you know because you're so darn informed, that tens of thousands, millions of people are living on the edge where they're going to get kicked out of their apartment because they can't afford their rent. 20 million people worried about whether they can pay their next mortgage payment. Making sure we get the aid that was voted on in the House and was passed by the Senate in some cases, and much of which is not passed, get the kind of help to keep people afloat. People, I mean, I remember my dad being restless. My bedroom was next to his, when my two brothers and I were in the same bedroom. And I remember one night feeling I could hear my dad. You could just hear the bed move, you know, the sort of the headboard. And really, you could. And I, so the next morning I said, "Mom, what's wrong with Dad?" He said, "Honey, he's worried. He had moved jobs. He lost his health insurance. He doesn't know what to do." Think of all the people. All the people who are laying at night, awake at night, staring at the ceiling, thinking, "God forbid, what happens?"
Pretty powerful stuff there. I hope, you know, and I hope he, it's not just lip service. There are a number of executive actions that are on the table from the Biden administration, the Biden elected administration already, including student loan reversal, wiping away student loan debt, eviction moratorium extensions, extension of unemployment benefits through other federal programs. So without those Georgia Senate seats, there is a ton that he can do on day one. Extending funding for frontline workers and repositioning money for, that was the first thing he mentioned, by the way, was repositioning money for state and local governments. I've been hitting on that for a number. I mean, I know so many of these people. My father used to be an EMT. I know the people that this affects, the people that were those first responders where they're running out of funding, you know, in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, those places that have had to lay people off or furlough people because they have no funding for them. But what happens? It hits you. It's the 911 call center people. It's the unemployment office workers. So they're overwhelmed. Why? Because they have to furlough a certain number of their staff because they can't afford to pay them. Imagine that. They can't afford to pay unemployment office workers. I showed you the lines over the summer down in Florida where you had the call center people that were working for the state unemployment offices in Florida. Like, we couldn't tell them anything. We have nothing to tell them. we don't have the capacity to help them. And lines wrapped around the block. So I hope it's not just lip service. I hope that these things are on the table. Let me know your thoughts on that. I would love to hear your thoughts on that in the chat. We'll talk more about it in a moment. I want to tell you about Georgia in a second, because that's where all eyes are right now. We've got some major developments in Georgia overnight on those runoff elections and from the federal government. But before we do that, I want to tell you right now, because I'm not a fan of the U.S. dollar, as you know, and I want to tell you about our friends at Birch Gold. So many of you have asked, how can I start investing in precious metals? How can I get out of this corrupt banking system? Well, use Birch Gold. And here's what you can do right now to get their free gold kit. If you go to morninginvest.com/gold, you'll get their free gold kit. But what's great now, right now, they just wrote me yesterday to tell me what they're doing through the end of December. They're going to give you free silver. Yes, they're going to give you free silver when you make a minimum purchase of their gold, which I believe their minimum purchase of gold is $5,000 worth. Now, this is real gold, folks. This is not like paper gold, okay? You're actually getting gold coins. And gold for 4,000 years has helped sustain this, our economies around the world. And with this government printing money like it's going out of style, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to, make a purchase. If you've got money sitting in the U.S. dollar, which is losing money and which is set for a major reset, you already saw how much it declined over the past few weeks. Taking that money that you got in savings and transferring it into something smart like precious metals, being able to do that and then also get some free silver, that's their Christmas promotion right now. So check them out. Again, it's free to check out their gold kit. Go try them at morninginvest.com/gold. Download their free kit. See if it's a fit for you and start buying some precious metals. All right, let's talk about Georgia. All eyes on Georgia. We've got about a few weeks until the Georgia runoff election happens on January 5th. Of course, two candidates right now that were too close to call now be thrust into a recount. If it was less than 1% of the vote, they're thrust into a runoff. And while that's the backdrop in Georgia, those two Senate seats, which if that happens and Democrats pick up those two Senate seats, that would throw Mitch McConnell out of the leadership position, because the White House is controlled now by Democrats, and the tie-breaking vote in the Senate would fall to Kamala Harris as the Vice President of the United States. So technically, then Senator Schumer would become the majority leader. I'm still curious how that will all play out with a 50-50 Senate. But right now, William Barr last night dropped a bit of a bombshell. And that's why, so this is all tied together. So Bill Barr, the attorney general, who's been a lackey for President Trump for quite a while, who has really politicized the Department of Justice in ways that we haven't seen before. We saw what he did with the Mueller investigation report in his summary version of the Mueller investigation. Really threw the Mueller investigation under the bus. And he drove that narrative on President Trump through at the end of the Mueller investigation. But he last night, I don't know, threw the Trump sycophants some shade last night by coming out and announcing that there's no fraud. So here is how it went down yesterday. Breaking news on CNN. Watch this.
Bill Barr bails, deserting Trump on voter fraud. The attorney general tonight says the Justice Department has uncovered no evidence of any fraud that would change the outcome of the election. Now, Bill Barr has been beyond loyal to Trump, beyond loyal. So this is a major and public shaming of his boss, who tonight continues to peddle his baseless conspiracy theories. Barr bailing now, telling the Associated Press, quote, "To date, we have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election."
So it went down last night, sent shockwaves through. And then a few minutes later, we saw that Bill Barr was being summoned to the White House. And there's a lot of drama there. We don't know what unfolded last night. I thought, oh, my God, he's about to be fired. This Trump loyalist is about to be fired. Not yet. Not yet, anyway. Anyway, here's how the Associated Press broke this story. Disputing President Donald Trump's persistent, baseless claims, Attorney General William Barr declared Tuesday the U.S. Justice Department has uncovered no evidence of widespread voter fraud that could change the outcome of the 2020 election. I guess it's refreshing to hear that, because I guess things like, you know, everybody knows, or a lot of people are saying, or some guy told me, doesn't actually hold up in a court of law when you're having to go in front of a judge and explain what you saw and that there was somehow widespread voter fraud. Turns out there wasn't. Or if there were individual little episodes of fraud here and there, which there always are in elections, it was not enough in Barr's mind to do anything to the election. Sad news for President Trump. Barr's comments in an interview with the Associated Press contradict the concerted effort by Trump, his boss, to subvert the results of last month's voting and block President-elect Joe Biden from taking place in the White House. Barr told the Associated Press that U.S. attorneys and FBI agents have been working to follow up on specific complaints and information that they have received. But to date, we have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election. So the obviously, it's amazing because the comments actually drew immediate criticism from Trump's attorneys. We're especially notable coming from Barr, who's been one of the president's most ardent allies in this entire fight. Before the election, he repeatedly raised the notion that mail-in ballot voting was going to be a problem and that it was going to be rife with fraud. And and it would be vulnerable to that. So the GOP, though, has a big problem now in Georgia. And this is how it all comes together. Because we have a lot of Republican voters that actually believe President Trump. They believe that the election was rigged. And so they've basically come out and said, you know what, we're not going to vote on January 5th in Georgia. Because if it was rigged before, then we're not coming out and voting in Georgia this time. Because if it's going to be rigged again, that's a problem. We're not going to do it. So right now you have the Republican Party basically shaking in its boots in Georgia, almost hoping that the Trump administration will sort of walk back all of their baseless claims about fraud. Because now you have these two Georgia Republicans that are hoping to hang on and actually win their election. But if all these Republicans in Georgia are like, no, Trump told us it was rigged, we don't want to vote, they're not going to come out to the polls and vote. Why would we take part in this rigged process? So the Republican Party now is like, President Trump, please, can you get off this BS that you've been peddling? Because we're going to lose these two races in Georgia. It's the same thing that happened in Florida this summer. Do you remember this? We covered it here on the show when he was slamming mail-in voting, right? Saying it was going to be rife with fraud. And then he himself mail-in voted in the primary in Florida. And then the Republican Party in Florida said, please, President Trump, can you just not pick on mail-in voting? Because we actually need Republicans to vote by mail in Florida. Can you not do that? And then he sent out a series of tweets. He's like, mail-in voting is great. Mail-in voting is fantastic in Florida. It was hilarious. That's exactly what's happening now. All of these people are like, President Trump says the whole thing's rigged. Now they're going to stay home and not vote. In some ways, it's like natural selection, don't you agree? But here was yesterday. I mean, some real crazy stuff happening in Georgia. Here yesterday is the one of the election officials, Gabriel Sterling. He couldn't really even keep it together yesterday on the microphone. So he's one of the election officials down there. And they've had it. They've had it by the fact that there's been a number of Republicans, the Secretary of State, the governor, that have said our election was safe and secure, even after recounts, even after hand recounts. Guess what? When you have the paper ballot that you match up with the electronic record, turns out it's pretty hard to throw that under the bus. And so now there have been death threats, all kinds of crazy things happening. And the election official, Gabriel Sterling, came out yesterday and said this.
Keep it together. Because it has all gone too far. All of it. Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. It has to stop. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language. Senators, you have not condemned this language or these actions. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some. My boss, Secretary Raffensperger, his address is out there. They have people doing caravans in front of their house. They've had people come onto their property. Trisha, his wife of 40 years, is getting sexualized threats through her cell phone. It has to stop. This is elections. This is the backbone of democracy. And all of you who have not said a damn word are complicit in this. It's too much. Yes, fight for every legal vote. Go through your due process. We encourage you. Use your First Amendment. That's fine. Death threats. Physical threats. Intimidation. It's too much. It's not right. They've lost the moral high ground to claim that it is. I don't have all the best words to do this because I'm angry. And the straw that broke the camel's back today is, again, this 20-year-old contractor for a voting system company just trying to do his job. His family's getting harassed now. There's a noose out there with his name on it. It's not right. I've got police protection outside my house. Fine. You know, I took a higher profile job. I get it. Secretary ran for office. His wife knew that too. This kid took a job. He just took a job. And it's just wrong. I can't begin to explain the level of anger I have right now over this. And every American, every Georgian, Republican and Democrat alike should have that same level of anger. Mr. President, it looks like you likely lost the state of Georgia. We're investigating. There's always a possibility. I get it. And you have the rights to go through the courts. What you don't have the ability to do, and you need to step up and say this, is stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed. And it's not right.
Wow. I'll applaud this guy. You should know his name, Gabriel Sterling, Georgia election official, speaking truth to power, saying, Mr. President, you lost Georgia. Come out and condemn these things. When someone hangs a noose on a 20-year-old's house who's just doing a job, when Chris Kreps, who worked at the Department of Homeland Security and came out and said this was the most secure election we've ever had, was doing his job, he was appointed by Bush, by the way, he's a Republican, state, you know, Secretary of State, Governor, Republicans. So that's what's happening in Georgia. And the Republicans have a big problem on their hands, because how do they square that? How do they cross that T? How do they, what other metaphor? How do they thread that needle? They've been saying it's all corrupt without any evidence of it. By the way, overnight, another one of their lawsuits was tossed. They had actually won one of their lawsuits. They actually, that has now, they had two that they won. They have actually now lost one of those two. And they've lost 39 now. Because they have nothing. When they go into these courtrooms, they have nothing. Like, oh, that guy heard something. That guy saw something. Judge after judge after judge has thrown these things out. But you've got all these conspiracy theorists out there. I like a good conspiracy theory. You know, heck, I have a whole, you know, YouTube channel on paranormal post stuff, right? I also like fact-based. And when you literally have instances of this guy saw one thing over here, yes, incidents always happen in these elections, but widespread national voter fraud, where someone literally came in and took over servers and every compute, every system and paper ballot, and we created all kinds of phony fake paper ballots. And okay. So anyway, they've got a big problem in Georgia, and Republicans, you know, are not going to be turning out. At least that's what they're saying. Not going to be turning out to vote in Georgia if it's all rigged. Why would we participate in the system anymore? Okay. That's on you, I guess. I'm glad. Hey, Republicans, if you don't want to vote in Georgia, stay home. It'd be fantastic for Mitch McConnell to be thrown out of power. But if you do want to vote, get out there. You know, support your Republican candidates. Get out there. Keep Mitch McConnell in power so he can continue to screw you over, to do nothing for the American people, and just keep corporate interests at heart. There you go. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below.
You know,
weigh in on all of these stimulus news.
You know, that speech that guy just gave reminds me of, what was that movie with Albert Finney, where he was the TV anchor and he just got fed up?
Oh, The Network.
It's kind of like that, you know, Network. We're fed up and...
Yeah. We're not going to take it anymore. Get up out of your seats. Go to your window and shout, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Oh, man. One of the greatest movie scripts of all time, by the way. Patty Chavesky wrote that script. I think Patty Chavesky also wrote Chinatown, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Anyway, movie Network. It's as poignant today as it was in 1974, or whatever it was. Faye Dunaway. Oh, such a great movie. But it's like someone's finally like telling the truth and people are sitting at home like, wait, what is this guy doing? Dad, come here, look at your screen. This guy's actually telling the truth. Like, what? And we're so desensitized to it now. We're so spoon-fed narratives that we don't expect to see something like that. You know, this guy, this Republican who works for like a Republican administration, coming out saying, enough, Mr. President, condemn this BS. But they know they have a problem on their hands. So it's amazing how quickly they can turn. They're like, yeah, we lost this election. The whole thing was rigged. Oh, crap. Wait a second. We know it wasn't. We know that was a lie. But we have this runoff election. Shoot. Now people are going to think this is rigged. We got to tell them that it's not. And oh, by the way, and go vote. Sorry, you made your own bed, right? Lie in it now. Meanwhile, you have like President Trump has raised about $140 million from poor saps out there who are donating money to him, basically to help him get out of debt in order to fight election results. $140 million. People are like, yes, you know, Trump's my guy. I'm going to send him this money. It's all been a ploy. Sad. Taking advantage of these people who are hurting already. They're sending in donations thinking they're going to help this guy. It's total garbage. Are you a subscriber of the channel? Please, I hope you are. Just hit that subscribe button. We do this show every day live at 9 a.m. Eastern time. You can become a channel member as well by going to morninginvest.com/join. Help you support a show that we do here, independent journalism. We're not bought and spoon-fed by the mainstream media. We don't answer to any corporate overlords. So we'll call BS on both sides and all around. Oh, I should mention some exciting news. So tonight, we're launching this tonight, right, David? We're going to launch our new separate show. We'll be doing a separate entire show for you at nighttime. Yes, we're going to be doing a separate, we're doing that tonight. Am I right? I just want to make sure we're not starting it tomorrow.
You're going to record it today and we're going to start it tomorrow. Yes.
Yes. So, okay. Gotcha. So yeah. So tonight at 9 p.m.
will be one of the stories from today, but you're recording one today after the show that will be the premiere for tomorrow. So it's going to be a premiere, which is played like it's live, but slightly different.
Right. But it's going to be all brand new.
Yep.
So it will be something that we actually do later in the day, covering more news for you later in the day. So it'll be totally different. So you'll be able to, once you subscribe, you'll be able to set that premiere and watch that at 9. We'll be in there in the chat hanging out with you as well. So being able to provide some extra content for you here on the show, I'm super excited about it. Corey says, yes, evening incest. No, it's invest. No incest here. It's the evening invest.
All right. So we do have some questions. Are you ready to do Q&A or you still got another?
Yeah, story? Let's fire it up. Let's fire it up. So yeah, we want to spend more time here at the end of the show, being able to chat with you. So that's kind of a little bit of a format change we're trying to do here. We want to be able to chat. So all of the people here in our channel members, who are channel members, can chat with us.
So Kenneth Humphrey is asking, my question is, which small business received help? I doubt those who are really in need.
Well, as we know, there's a full list that's out, but they only released people that made or that received over $150,000, I think. I think that was the list, because Congress was like, hey, who got this PPP money, right? So if that's what you're referring to, but yeah, a lot of these companies ended up getting millions, some of which, of course, remember, like, you know, Shake Shack and others that ended up having to give money back. Because they pretend, it's the way that they file these things. They have all these franchises, right? So they, in some ways, they filed this, these PPP plans as if they were small businesses. They kind of almost filed it like they were an individual Shake Shack or an individual Wendy's. Come on. So all of these fast food companies have done really well during this pandemic. But it's the small little pizza shop that that was forced to close. And here's the thing, they were meant to use it for expenses and payroll. But what about, you know, what about other things that were keeping them afloat? So a lot of these people just folded. They couldn't handle it anymore. And it ran out. It ran out, it's gone. And now they closed permanently.
Muggsy's asking, is Nancy and Chuck coming out with another bill, or are they still rolling with the HEROES Act?
Well, we don't know. That's a great question, Muggsy. We don't know. It's being kept under wraps. So all we know is that they're working on one. There's a, it's interesting. So let me pull it up here. This is what, let's see. Here's an I'll get to that other question you just had in a second, Muggsy, but I thought this, I wanted to show this and I couldn't pull it up in the show. Jeff Stein, friend of the show, he's been a guest here multiple times. Actually, we're hoping to have him on the show this week if we can. So one, it's interesting, on September 8th, if you can see this right here, on September 8th, Mitch McConnell rolled out a plan that had included $300 a week in supplemental unemployment for jobless Americans. December 1st, McConnell released his plan including $0 a week in supplemental. What the hell? And a McConnell spokesperson declined to comment when asked to explain the reversal. Oh, we're not going to comment on that. It's gotten worse since September, not better. And now you remove unemployment benefits? These are not your constituents, right? These are not your rich Republicans who are voting for you. So I guess that's why you just don't care. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you're Mitch McConnell, multimillionaire, who, by the way, his wife's organization got hundreds of thousands of dollars from the coronavirus relief money, Elaine Chao and her family. And you're able to sit there at your desk and put together a proposal. And when your lackey aides in your office are saying, okay, Senator, what about stimulus checks? No, we don't need stimulus checks. No, don't include that. What about unemployment assistance? That was in your proposal back in September. We're going to keep that in there, right? Nah, let's remove that. People are fine.
Clayton, Andrew Francis is asking, do you recommend steady payments to your credit card debt during the pandemic?
Yes. I mean, look, unless through executive action, Biden, one of the things we've been hearing is some sort of a forgiveness for credit card, for poor credit as it relates to not paying your bills. But the last thing you want to do is on top of this, end up ruining your credit. So many people rely on credit. Unfortunately, in this country, it's sad that our credit report is so vital to the American way of life. I wish it wasn't. You know, other countries, they don't even have a credit report. But in the United States, we're such a debt economy that we rely so much on credit cards and credit card debt and what that looks like when we are able to repay that debt, sadly. So I would not, I certainly wouldn't just throw in the towel and not pay your credit card bills. You know, at least trying to keep up and paying the minimum if you can. Or get a credit card where you don't have to pay, you know, there's no interest rates. Transfer that over to like another 0% card or something like that. would be ideal in this situation. Remember, you're just trading one financial product for another. So you don't have to be fearful of that. Like if you've got an 18% interest rate on one card, transfer that bad boy over to a 0% interest rate. There's a lot of cards that are open for 0% interest for 12 months, 18 months. I would just transfer that balance over if you can.
So Lady Shikari is asking, my question is, why would the working poor vote for Trump?
It's a great question. It's confounded Hillary Clinton. And frankly, it's still confounded a lot of Democrats this time around. I mean, why would the working poor vote for Trump? Because just let's go back to 2016. And it's the same reason I can't stand either of these parties. What I thought Trump was talking about was revolutionary. You know, I'm a progressive. I'm, you know, like in the Bernie Sanders world. Like, I think we should have Medicare for all, free public college, stop fighting foreign wars to pay, you know, so we don't have to pay billions of dollars in that. That's where I live. That's my world. So I'm a Philadelphia progressive at heart. But when Trump was on the campaign trail saying things that no one else was saying, like, why are we in these wars? He was on stage in front of Jeb Bush saying, your brother got us into two of the worst wars in American history. And people applauded. I applauded because he was right. And when you have Trump in 2016, who's a quote unquote businessman, who's telling everyone he's going to quote unquote drain the swamp and he's not going to be of Washington. And you had all of these elite Republicans. You had all of these elite Republicans like George Will and all of these writers of, you know, all of these Republican writers that you would see on television all the time, you know, the Charles Krauthammers of the world, those like elite conservatives, right? Saying this, we got to stop this guy, Trump. He doesn't represent the elite Republican Party, right? Going to keep fighting foreign wars, going to keep pumping money to our corporate Wall Street cronies. And here was Trump saying, I'm not going to take any of that money. Your jobs have been shipped over to Mexico and China. And the steel, like through the Rust Belt in Pennsylvania and up in Ohio and West Virginia, the reason that Hillary Clinton got her clock cleaned in those areas is because he was saying, like, hey, under the Clintons, under Al Gore and NAFTA, U.S. steel, no wonder you're out of work. No wonder the Rust Belt is empty. So he paid lip service to all of these things. And, you know, in the end, is manufacturing back in the United States? No. I've agreed with some of his tougher stances on China. And many other countries should have actually been paying attention to like what the United States has done to try to, you know, try to stop China coming in and basically owning American businesses, buying up as much real estate as they can. So it resonated with people. Was a lot of it BS? Yeah, because of who he surrounded himself with. Did he start a new war? No. Did he try to end some of these wars? Yes. Did he try to bring troops home? And yes, he did. And Mitch McConnell and all of those Republican elites immediately went after him and grabbed him by the neck and said, you can't do that. It'll destabilize the entire region. We can't do that in Somalia. Wait a minute. We're in Somalia? We can't bring 900 people home. And by the way, one of our members of the military just got killed in Somalia. Why are we in Somalia? Do you remember the movie Black Hawk Down? I mean, come on. So I'm not a Trump defender in any way, but there are a few key areas that he resonated. He was way more in touch with the working class person than Hillary Clinton was. We didn't even know what she stood for. That's why she lost and he won.
Well, and you remember.
Is he full of shit? Yeah.
Bush ran on not being the policeman of the world. He won. Obama ran being a peace candidate. He won. So it's like they run on, you know, no foreign intervention. But once they're in, that changes. But it didn't with Trump, at least. The
military industrial complex takes hold.
Right.
Right. I mean, he was on the verge of going to war in Iran, you know, make no mistake about it. So there were times when there were people that had to pull him back from the brink, you know.
Well, and I wonder.
You could really thank.
Go ahead.
You wonder? Well, I was going to say you have really like Tucker Carlson to thank for that because he was on the air basically saying, like, what are you thinking of doing here? Are you absolutely, you know, we cannot. This is absurd. And it was literally, according to a number of reports, the reason that Trump did not go into Iran was Fox News. Like, anchors on Fox News were like, don't do it. Don't do it. And that was like enough for him to like sit back and actually listen to members of his, you know, saying, don't do it. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. There's a little bit of latency between Clayton and I. So sometimes it sounds like we're interrupting each other, but that's like ever so slight. But no, what I was going to say is, I wonder if Trump's thinking was, you know, a wartime president could actually stay in office. So I wonder if he's like, well, you know, if I start a war, then this could all go away. It wouldn't matter what the election results were because I could stay in office during war.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the wag the dog theory, right? It's, you know, George W. Bush. I mean, how does George W. Bush win against John Kerry? I mean, he gets us in these disastrous wars. Incredibly unfavorable numbers. I mean, wanting to like end Social Security. I mean, the list went on and on, right? I think one of the worst presidents in American history, George W. Bush. And how does he win? How? And the exit polls showed that people were like, you know what? We're sad we're in this war, but we're going to stick with the guy that got us in it instead of the guy that wants to get us out of it. It baffles me, but you're right. I think it could have been, I don't think, cause it was, to me, like 2 years removed from the election at that point when he was like contemplating this move on Iran, but could have been. I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, God knows I wouldn't put anything past him at this point.
Matt M is wondering if the stimulus, I think he's asking, will the stimulus be federally taxed or is that tax-free money?
It would be tax-free money, but you also couldn't claim it as a write-off. So if we go by what happened with the CARES Act, there are a couple of key points to note about that. Like if you got PPP money for your business, you cannot then also claim it as a write-off on your taxes. But you wouldn't be like basically the IRS is treating it as a catastrophe, payment. But they wouldn't be counting it as income either. But you can't double dip on it. So it's not being counted as income, but it's not being counted. You can't also then write it off. Like if you're using it to pay expenses. So the key is like if you got PPP money and you got $40,000 in PPP money from the federal government tax free, you don't have to pay taxes on it. But you can't also then go and buy new computer equipment for your office or pay your utility bills. And utility bills and expenses you can write off on your taxes. You can't do that if you use the PPP money to do that. So you need to be very careful about that. But as far as income, again, if we treat the $1,200 stimulus checks, those were treated as non-taxable income. So you're not paying taxes on $1,200 stimulus checks. It's not considered income by the federal government. But again, we don't have ironclad any of this yet. But if we're just going off past history, they're not going to make you pay taxes on the $1,200 that they're giving you. Doesn't make any sense. Good question.
Clayton, do you think with this latest news, Republicans in Georgia may swing Democrat also instead of not voting at all?
Yes. Monique, thank you for that question. Do you think yes, I do. Like, I think what happened, because when they know, like, if you see this from Mitch McConnell, let me ask you this. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I have been for 20 years now. But if I'm sitting there and I see Mitch McConnell roll this piece of crap out that I showed you earlier on the show, this is Mitch McConnell's new stimulus package proposal. He has not released it yet. This was acquired by the Washington Post, and it's being circulated internally right now by Republicans. If you see him roll this piece of crap out that has no state aid, no local aid, no stimulus checks, no 1 month of pandemic unemployment assistance, 1 month, so that'll get us into January? Hallelujah. Because January is an easy month, right? It's the coldest month of the year. It's the most miserable time of the year. Everyone's off of work. It's a disaster. January, I want to go on a limb and say, if you have a birthday in January, I'm sorry. January is the worst month of the year. Anyone want to disagree with me? No holidays. There's nothing going on.
It's cold. Well, New Year's Day. Come on, man.
Skies. New Year's Day. New Year's Day sucks, come on, doesn't man. It? New Year's Day stinks. My birthday is New Year's Eve, so I'm a big fan of December. But January? Is there anything good in January? It's not even the Super Bowl. That's February now. So there's nothing. I don't know. There's nothing in January. I wish we could just remove January. If I ran for president, I would remove daylight saving time and I would remove January. That would be my platform.
Clayton, do you think
I don't know if I answered your question, Monique.
Do you think Biden would do reoccurring monthly payments of $2,000 like Kamala Harris proposed if Dems take over the Senate?
It's possible. Look, you have the International Monetary Fund right now, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, saying countries, do whatever you need to do, spend whatever you need to spend. They did it in Brazil. Guess what Brazil tried under Bolsonaro, who was like a Trump lackey? You know, it's like the triumvirate, like Boris Johnson, Bolsonaro in Brazil. By the way, all three of them got COVID. Sorry, I just find that funny. Anyway, his approval rating was in the toilet. And what do you know? They rolled out stimulus for all the Brazilians. About a third of the population was now receiving hundreds of dollars a month in stimulus money to take care of them through this pandemic indefinitely. Like, it's going to continue. Guess what? That's right, Grover. His approval rating skyrocketed. Turns out people like getting money from their government. But the International Monetary Fund is saying, yes, do it. The only problem in Brazil is they just randomly gave it to people that didn't necessarily need it, and it wasn't targeted intelligently. And so they actually saw a spike in beer sales in Brazil. Also, a huge spike in beer sales. So people taking this stimulus money. So if we did it in a targeted way, with the International Monetary Fund and the Federal Reserve saying that we need big, continuous stimulus. Those are the words from the Federal Reserve. Continuous stimulus. Yes, I think it's possible, especially because, like you said, Ed Markey, Kamala Harris, and Bernie Sanders had been pushing for that $2,000 in Emergency Money for the People Act, which was $2,000 a month retroactive back till March. I wouldn't be surprised if Democrats win in Georgia. We might not see some regular recurring stimulus plan through the rest of this pandemic. I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm sorry, Monique asked, I wanted to finish my thought on Monique's question. She asked about Georgia and would people suddenly who haven't voted or voted Republican. Yeah, I think if people are paying attention to the news, Monique, and they actually see that, a vote for a Republican in Georgia means that this guy, Mitch McConnell, stays in power. And a vote for a Democrat means he loses power. And by the way, we could get massive stimulus if Mitch McConnell loses. Yeah, I think so. And I'm not saying that to be flippant. I'm just saying if people are actually paying attention and they're informed about what's going on in Georgia, yes, I think there's a huge chance that that things could move in a different direction to get massive stimulus through that we desperately need.
Antonio is telling you, Clayton, the thing about you not voting for either candidate is that you leave it to the rest of us. We all know that we are not going to get a shiny gold coin from a candidate, but choose we must.
Oh, I voted. I just didn't vote for either of them. I voted my conscience. But I did not vote for Biden, and I did not vote for Trump.
Clayton, do you think a stimulus will happen after January 20th?
James Figueroa, thank you for the question. I think there's going to be a small, from what I'm reading and hearing from my old congressional sources and friends in Washington, I'm hearing that there's a push for some bridge before then. Something like what we saw from this bipartisan group, something in that wheelhouse, $908 billion, something like that. It will be a stopgap measure It's not going to make everyone happy. It's going to be enough to just get us through a little while. Yes, I think we're going to see something small in the next few days. I think they absolutely must get something through. So, you know, maybe that's me being the optimist, as I'm always the eternal optimist. But I have to think that something small will come through. It's not going to be large. We'll have to wait until a Biden administration and wins in January for us to see some massive stimulus. It's my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
One more.
Someone was asking about my water fast. Yeah, well, someone was asking. I just wanted to...
Okay.
Someone earlier, I just don't know what it was. Someone was asking about my coffee and water fast, what the deal is. Well, I'm kind of cataloging it. So I'm trying to, like David said, I think I'll be posting some stories right here on YouTube in the communities tab. So you'll see some of the posts coming through on that. If you also follow me on Instagram, Clayton Morris over on Instagram, you can follow me there. And I'll be posting some different things in my stories there about the fast. But yeah, I mean, it's not just about losing weight, but that's one big piece of it. I've gotten to be the largest that I've been in a while. I crossed the 200-pound threshold for the first time in my life last month, and I've never done that. I've been to 199, 198, but I never. I'm 6 feet two, and so like, you know, just I thought, okay, once I cross that Rubicon, I got to go. I got to do something drastic. So I'm doing a 21-day water fast and black coffee, no sugar, nothing like that, and that's it. And it's pretty amazing. The first like 2 days are a little hard. You know, you're like, oh, I'm craving some food. But I already lost like 2.5-3 pounds already. And once you start seeing the results and you start feeling better. Yeah. I mean, I just know that on day 3, day 4, day 5, it just falls off. So the goal really is you pretty much can lose about 2 pounds a day, but it's also about cleansing. You know, because what your body does is it puts all of this, like all of this toxins in America. We've got like PCBs and insecticides and all this crap. And what the body does to keep it away from you is it basically puts it, stores it in fat. And doctors have seen this in fat biopsies of people. Like there's all these like toxic chemicals like stored there. And it's really nasty. And so like just cleansing all of that crap out of your body where your body's able to metabolize it and get it out and kind of start fresh. That's what I'm going for. So it'll end on December 21st, 21 days. It's all about, you know, hey, it's about willpower too, isn't it?
Like
do this for the first time in my life.
Is that so you can just completely gorge out on Christmas Day? Gain it all
my
back.
Birthday, December 31st. Eat a big coconut cream pie. Like the first day, I was like,
I'm going to eat this whole brine turkey.
No, you know, what's funny. It's like I see these people that do that and then they're like, yeah, I'm just going to go hog wild when I come off my fast. I'm like, you're missing the point, right? Like the goal is to like really get into a groove of like shifting your habits, you know? And so for me, I want to really get away from eating as, you know, as much meat as possible, really shift to more of a plant-based diet. We know the effects of fasting, how it can help, really it's proven to ward off Alzheimer's. So all of that, I mean, just transition to more of a vegetarian based diet, still eating fish and some meat, some locally sourced meat, chicken and stuff occasionally, but not every day. And
that's like,
you know, for lunch, having like a vegetable soup and stuff like that and not eating hamburgers and stuff like that, you know?
It's the equivalent of, you know, watching porn and then taking your computer in and getting all the viruses removed that you got and then going home and just watching porn again. Like, you know, you go through all that hard work for 21 days to get rid of all those toxins and then you're just going to pack them right back in there. A lot of people do that.
Exactly. It's crazy. And then they're like, oh, why am I feeling? So then they do these sort of like large fasts every year. And, you know, I watched these two Australian guys who had done this. They did a documentary on it and they did like a 40 day, I think, or like a 25 day water fast. And they lost like 40 pounds and they're in great shape. And it's like, yeah, then we went crazy once we got off of it. And now we're going to do it again. I'm like, don't do that. And they didn't put the weight back on. That's the beautiful thing. Like you don't just put the weight back on. So you just got to change your whole habit. So, Yeah. I don't know. All right. Plant-based is the way to go. I mean, we all know that. We all know that, but we just, you know.
Last question. Robert Strickland is asking, will essential employees like security officers get hazard pay? What are your thoughts, Clayton?
Well, under the current $908 billion plan, there is pay in there for frontline workers. So it's a question of how that's broken down for hazard pay and whether or not they'd get some sort of additional pay. I think, again, according to the bipartisan group, their proposal has money in there for those types of things. Mitch McConnell's does not. We do not know what money would be in there from the Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi plan. Once we hear that, we don't know. But we do know is what Joe Biden just said. I'll play that for you real quick. See if I can find it. This is what he just said about frontline workers.
It's passed by the Senate in some cases, and much of which is not passed, get the kind of help to keep people afloat. People, I mean, in the same bedroom, all the people who are laying at night, awake at night, staring at the ceiling, thinking, God forbid, what happens? We have to act. We have to act to guarantee them they have access to affordable health insurance.
Yeah.
This is more than just.
So he says here, I don't know if I recued it, financial crisis. He put it to the right part, but.
It's a crisis that is causing real mental stress.
He mentions, I didn't cue it up properly, but he says, the people that I want to help first are the people that are on the front lines and the people that get hit the hardest whenever we get punched. Those are the people that I want to help. So that's what he said. So either through executive action or through some large Biden stimulus in January, that will happen. But we have to wait through this unknown of January 5th and the runoff elections in Georgia. So there you go. Thank you, everyone, for subscribing to the channel. We do this show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you for subscribing, being a part of our great community here. You can become a channel member and support our independent journalism right now by going to morninginvest.com/join. So our thanks to all of you. We'll be back here tomorrow once again at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Grover says thank you. You can tell that he's saying thank you, that he loves you.
You can also help the channel.
Super excited for the holiday season.
For free by subscribing and or sharing the video.
Yeah, share this with someone in your family who needs to see this. You know, it doesn't take much. You can post this on Facebook, take the video, share it on Twitter, share it on Instagram, email it to one of your family and friends. Share that with them because, look, we want to get the word out to as many people as possible about this. We try to cover the story unbiased, unfiltered, and we'll tell you the truth, unlike the mainstream media. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Take care. Have a great day.